1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us.
Passage I read in your hearing a while ago, you may think, what's that got to do with Mother's Day? But he's talking about a nurse and taking care of her patients, her children, and nursing them and helping them to see that they can be those people of God. It is a shame. I was talking with a lady this week, and I told her, I said, you know, it's a shame that we men have given up our responsibility of training our children in a spiritual way, and we have really given that over many times to women. And I'm not saying that the women are not doing a good job. I think they are. And they are also the foundation of the family, I think, the greater foundation than the men are. And that's because of a weakness that we have as men. So, ladies, we appreciate you so very much. We honor you today. We want to keep on doing that and letting you know that we appreciate you. So, let's do that. Let's honor our wives in a great way. In fact, I tell you what we're going to do. I want all the men to stand up. Stand up. It's kind of hard. I know it's hard for you men to take direction. Stand up. Okay, now what I want you to do is to look around at the women that are sitting near you, and I want you to say, you're a blessing. Okay. All right, now you can sit down. Okay. I thought about that, and I thought, well, I might be looking for another job anyhow. No, I think it's good to do that sometime, and it's good to do things a little bit different, and I think it's good for the men to be able to do that and thank all the women for all the things that they do for us and how they bless us. I am told that a woman who takes care of children spends 18,000 hours with taking care of children until that child reaches 18. Now, some of you mothers say, that's not enough. Well, let me tell you something. It just seems like it's a lot longer. But it takes a lot to take care of children. Men are not good at doing that. Let's just go ahead and admit that. Men, if you want to say amen anytime I get a good point, just let loose, okay? Because that's true. And some men are real good at that. I'm not, I've got a wife. She does a better job than I can do, and I don't get in her way. She's always done a great job. And so my family's been blessed because of the women that's in that family. But women spend a lot of time helping children to be the kind of people they need to be, to train and to teach them and to help them to be those kind of people in the world. A father was trying to explain to his little daughter about marriage. And he had racked his brain about, how can I do that? And he said, okay. He got the wedding album out. Most people have one. And he was showing her the pictures. This is mother and daddy. And this is when they were standing before the preacher. And this is when the preacher said their husband and wife. And this is when they kissed. And so he was just doing a great job of explaining that, he thought. And then he asked her, said, do you have any questions about that? She said, yes. She said, is that about the time Mama come to work for us? Well, I don't know whether he made it or not. I don't know whether he survived or not. But it's hard to explain some of those things sometimes. It's hard for us to get that across and help people to be able to see that. Now, what we want to do today, and I know y'all want a long sermon, but I'm sorry. I'm going to have to do a short one today. You know, I want you to get your money's worth, but you're not going to get it today because I'm going to be short because we got to beat everybody else to the restaurants, hadn't we? How many of you women are going to cook today? Okay, boys, we're going to the restaurants. I'm telling you, I did. If you didn't turn around and look, there wasn't a woman raised her hand, and that's okay. We need to go out and eat every once in a while. We need to go out and eat a lot and enjoy it. and enjoy what we're doing. Now, what we want to do today, I want to just mention a few women of the Bible, and I tried to get some that we don't normally look at, but I want us to see, and we could spend the whole lesson talking about this. The first one is Moses. Here is Moses. The decree was given in Exodus 2 that any child, Hebrew child that was born, was to die. But here Moses' mother made a little boat for him and put him in the river to save him. She went against the law. She went against the law that said you can die if you do that. But she did that, why? Because she was a mother. And then this next woman, I was telling Linda about that. She said, well, what's her? I don't know what her name was. But in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, two women go before Solomon. And they're wanting the wisdom of Solomon to be able to figure this great problem they have out. One woman had a child. These two women were living together in the same house. One woman had a child and loved her child. Next woman had a child. Well, the second woman that had a child kind of rolled over and smothered her baby. Terrible thing, awful thing. But what she did later was even worse than that. She went over while the other lady slept and took her baby, and she put it over there in her bed and took the dead baby and put it over there with the other woman. So the mother comes before Solomon in all of his wisdom and says, Solomon, look at this. This is not right. That's my child. The lady said, no, this is my child. No, that's my child. Mamas know their babies. Solomon thought about it, and Solomon, in his great wisdom, figured out how to do it. He said, bring me a sword. He said, I'm going to cut this baby half in two, and you can have one half, and you can have the other half. Now, the baby's real mother spoke up and said, no, Solomon, let her have the baby. I'd rather the baby be with her than die. Solomon said, that's the mother right there. Mothers are willing to sacrifice. What a great example that was of a mother that was willing to give up her child because of that. And then you have the mother of James and John. Now this mother wanted her children to have the best. And so she goes to the Lord in Matthew 20 and she says to Jesus, listen, when you come into your kingdom and you start your kingdom, and maybe she misunderstood the kingdom and she thought it was going to be a physical kingdom where you had different rulers over different people, and that's what people normally think. She said, Jesus, I want you to let one sit on your right hand and one sit on your left hand. Well, she misunderstood the kingdom of God, but you see this mama, it wanted her kids to be successful, and she wanted them to be there, and she was willing to speak up and talk about it. How many mamas have fought for their children? And how many mamas will fight for their children? And we could go on and on with example after example of mothers and what they did and how they went through that. But when you talk about mothers, sometimes we forget about there's some difficulties on Mother's Day. Some of you are sitting here today and you have a problem with Mother's Day. And it's understandable why. I've tried to mention a few things here. Maybe you don't have your the best, maybe you didn't have the best mother. Maybe your mother was not the mothering kind. And some are like that. Some are just not the mothering type people. And maybe that was your mother. And when you talk about Mother's Day and preachers like me stand up and say, oh, you need to love your mothers, and you're thinking, you just didn't know my mama. Well, that may be true. But let me tell you something. That's not the way it should have been. It should have been that you have a mother that you're proud of, and she's proud of you. And I'm sorry if your mother was not the right kind of person. I'm sorry about that, but let me tell you something. That's water under the bridge. What are you doing about it now? What kind of mother are you? So you be the right kind of mother. You be the one that sets that good example. Secondly, you may be maybe your mother has died. We had a funeral yesterday, and you know, the children were there. It just, you know, you hate that. You hate it to be near a holiday like this, because they'll always kind of put the two together. But maybe your mother's dead and she's not with you any longer. And maybe you miss her so very much. And that's okay. But we just need to be thankful that we had her as long as we did. Some of you have had mothers for a long, long, long time with you, and they're still here, and you enjoy them. But there may be the time that your mother's going to leave this world, and that's when old faith has to kick in. That's when we rely upon God, and we think of how wonderful it is that we've got a God that loves us and cares for us, and that God takes care of our mamas, not only in heaven, but on this earth too. And then thirdly, it may be that other mothers may feel like the pain of wayward children. Maybe you're sitting here today thinking, you know, it's a great, I wish my child was here just to be with me at church, to be with me at the services today. I wish that child was here. Or maybe that child is so far away, we don't feel they're ever going to come back. Wish you could take that out of your mind and your heart. Nobody can. That's part of life. I want to tell you something. Keep praying. We turn our problems over to God. We talk about faith, and we talk about faith, and we talk about believing in God. But let me tell you something. It's not worth much until we face difficulties and problems in our life, and there's no other way to go, no other place to turn to, and we turn to God, and we put it in God's hands. That's what faith really is. It's trusting in God. It's depending upon God when we don't have any other place to go. Hopefully we do that before the problems come and before difficulties come within our life. Some of you may be here today, and you may be keeping your family together as a single parent. And I don't know why, but sometimes we preachers are the most, we're just crazy. I didn't need any amens on that. Okay, just let that alone. We'll leave that there. But we talk about the family. And we talk about a mother and a father and that 1.3 child. That's not the society we're living in today. Most families nowadays are a single parent home. You say, that's not what God wants. There's a lot of things that God doesn't want. But let's deal with reality and the way it is. Let us not try to put even a greater load upon those single parents because they're trying to do the best job they can, and they come to church and this fat preacher stands up there and says, hey, you need a wife, you need a husband to have a real good family. Let me tell you something. You don't need a wife and you don't need a husband to have a good family. You need people with faith that trust in God, and if you're the only one there, then you be the example. You do the best you can. Some children are raised by their mothers. Some are raised by their fathers. Without that other parent there, understand it puts a greater load on you. It puts a greater pressure on you. But let me tell you something. You can be successful in that. And you need to, don't give up. Don't quit and don't stop. It's hard. It's harder when you don't have a husband or a wife to help you. And we in the church need to say something about that. Sometimes we don't. And we really need to say something about it so that people will know the things that they have to go through. You teach your children to do what's right and to live right and to serve God and to do the will of God no matter what. You help them to see what they need to do. Help them to have a faith that is theirs. Help them to know the love of God. Help them to understand about the family, that this is what God wants, but sometimes what God wants and what we have to deal with are two entirely different things, but we deal with it anyhow. You can have faithful children if you continue to serve God. When I think about this, I think about a mother. And we talk about this. There's some we don't know about all this, about Timothy and his mother and his father. We know that his father was a Greek. We don't hear much about him later on. Nothing is really said about him. Was he there? Was he not there? And you can get theologians that can talk about it and figure all that out. I don't know. But he was left out of the spiritual part of it, or his name would have been mentioned there, I think. But here's a young man that grew up to be a person of character, a person of the love that God had for any man. God showed it to him, and he showed it back to God. He was one who wanted to teach and help people to understand the will of God. He had the influence of his mother and his grandmother. He had the influence of Paul in his life. And you really read 1 and 2 Timothy, you can see there where he was one who was encouraged to continue being faithful. And he was encouraged to be faithful because of his mother and his grandmother. Now maybe their father wasn't anywhere in there. Maybe he was gone and out of the picture. Maybe he was there, but he wasn't involved in the spiritual part of it. But here these women did not say, "Oh, woe is me. We don't have a man to guide us." Let me tell you something, ladies. You don't need one. Okay? Now, you say, did he really say that? Yes. I think it's great if you have one. But let me tell you something. You can still train your children to be spiritual people without a father or without a mother. It's been done in the past and it'll be done in the future. And what we need to do is just talk about it and help people to see this and help people to know this. So here we have that example that's there. But not only that. Now, look at this. Mothers and grandmothers can raise children to be faithful. There's some things that they need to do, and that's what we really want to talk about here. First of all, the first thing a mother and a grandmother can do to help their children to be the best spiritual people is train them in the Scriptures. Help them to know what the Scriptures have to say. Paul talked about Timothy. Listen to what it said. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, he said, "Timothy, remember this." Okay? Remember how that from an infant, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which, now listen to this, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Here's a mother and a grandmother that was teaching their son, their grandson, about the Word of God. And they were willing to do that. They wanted him to know the Scriptures and not just know passages. Man, you can know a host of passages, but to know them and to live them. That's what he's talking about here. They wanted him to be able to live this and serve God and do the will of Jesus Christ. Don't just fill them with Scriptures, but fill them with the love that God has of those Scriptures. That these are the things that can guide them and help them to go the right way. Timothy was told, "You remember what your mother and your grandmother said." Now listen, do y'all, us men don't know these songs, and I'm probably going to mess this one up. I thought about it this morning. What's the little song about the Bible? I love the B-I-B-L-E, and the kids are patting that thing. And you can see little kids, you can start saying something like that, and they'll start patting their hand together. Or I've seen some even, when you hand them a little Bible, they'll just start patting it. Where'd they learn that from? Where they learn it from? From their mothers, usually. Or some godly woman that's teaching them about that within the church. How early should you start training your children as to what the Bible has to say? Let me tell you something, you can't start soon enough. In fact, if you're pregnant, talk to them about the Bible now. Let them know about it. And continue talking about it. Continue talking about how great it is and how wonderful it is to have a God that loves you. And let them know, listen, you are a gift that God has given me. Your children are one of the greatest gifts that God can give you. Let those kids know about that. Let them understand that. Never forget that. There were four scholars talking one time. And they were talking about translation. Boy, we talk about that a lot. Why, I don't know, but we do. One of the scholars said, "I believe the King James is the best translation of all. It is so poetic and it's English and it's a great one." The other one, he said, "No, I think the New American Standard is the best one because it helps us to get the nuance of the passages and understand all that and everything like that." Oh, yeah. And the third one said, "Well, listen, I think that the New Living Translation is the best one because it is in the vernacular of the people of the day." Well, the fourth one was standing there, and they just kind of waited on him, and then after a while, they looked at him, and he said, "Okay, the translation that I like the best is the translation that my mother has." They said, "Your mother has?" "Yeah, my mother's translation." They said, "What translation is that?" He said, "It's the one where she takes those passages and she lives it out before you. She puts it in her life and she lives it out in her life." He said that's greater than any other translation you can ever have. Let me tell you something. I don't care what translation you use. If it's not found in your life, you got the wrong one. It's got to change your life. It's got to mold your life and make your life to be the right kind of thing. He said, I like my mother's translation better than I do anybody else's. Mother, do you realize you're translating the scriptures for your children? You're helping them to see what the Bible is all about. Now, secondly, give them an authentic faith. You raise your children. They go to church every Sunday. They go to church every Sunday night. They go to church every Wednesday night. They're here all the time. They're participating in the youth things. And then they go off to college. And I don't know how many parents I've had to say, oh, Charles, my kids are not going to church. I said, do they have a faith? Well, I brought them to church. Let me tell you something. You can bring a dog to church, but that doesn't mean he's going to be faithful. That's not it. You've got to help them to develop their own faith, that when they leave home, they'll stand up for what's right because they know it's right in their own eyes. Not, well, this is what Mother and Daddy wants me to do. That's a part of it, but the greater part is we're doing God's will no matter what. We're going to follow God's way no matter what. So you've got to give your children their own faith. It's got to be their own faith. They have to understand it. It's got to be an authentic faith. Help them to develop that. Help them to understand that a part of it is them coming to church. But that's not all of it. We think it's the greatest thing when we get them to church. That's a part of it. But let me tell you something. That's just starting. Help them to understand those scriptures. Help them to have those scriptures there. Listen to what Paul told Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15, he said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which was first. Which at first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it lives within you too. Now Paul said, listen, they don't just believe, but they believe. And that has been instilled in you. Even though Lois and Eunice had a faith, that doesn't necessarily mean that their son's going to have a faith, but their son had a faith because of the faith that they had. Faith is not just because of where you are. It's because of who you are. It's because of the influence that you have there. You know, there's an old saying, you might not like it, but it's monkey see, monkey do. That's what children operate off of to a great extent out of us. They see us. If you want to know the fakes in Christianity, go talk to the teenagers. You'll say, oh, brother, so-and-so over there. And they say, oh, he's a hypocrite. I don't know how many times my kids have said, that guy right there, he don't believe in the Bible. They seem to be able to pick those out for some reason. They pick it out in us too. If our religion is only something of the outside, it's got to be something of the inside. It's got to be the something of the heart. It's got to be the something that helps to change them and make them be the best people. He said, I want Timothy, I remember that sincere. He said, it's not a fake. It's not something that you're just trying to have. It's not something that you just think you want to have. But it's a sincere faith. It's a faith that you can trust in. And that's what we got to have, is that sincere faith. A young man responding to the invitation. And you know, preachers have a big ego. I guess we have to, but you can eat your lunch too. But the preacher was thinking, it's something that I said in my sermon. Woo. And so he asked the young man and said, well, why did you respond? He said, I talked to my mama last night. My mama told me what I needed to do. Let me tell you something. When a person responds to the invitation, a lot of times it's not because of what the preacher said. It's because of what's said outside the sermon. Boy, that's bad on a preacher, isn't it? We can handle it. We got a big ego. But we got to have that. We got to have mamas and daddies teaching their children and helping them to understand what all this is about and helping them to know that. Listen to these two examples. In Acts, the 12th chapter, John Mark's mother had the group of people to come together. When Peter was in prison, they gathered in her house so that they could pray for Peter. She opened up her house that was there. I was talking to a fellow yesterday. He said, you know, my mother and daddy, when they had meetings, you know, and they had them for a week, he said my mother and daddy had those preachers in there all the time. And they'd be there for a whole week. Well, he's telling me about one preacher's wife that all she did was sit down and do anything. That's not good. But I've heard of other young men say, listen, we had the preacher in our home. He stayed there because Mama asked him to come and stay there. Mama wanted that influence in that life. We can see in Acts, the first chapter, verse 14, how that Mary was one. This is what it said, joined together constantly in prayer. Now, you just think what that is. Henry talked about it this morning, seeing people read the Scriptures. I don't know how many people I've said, I can remember my grandmother, my granddaddy, my mother, my daddy, sitting and reading the Scriptures. Let me tell you something. You don't have to preach sermons with 3 points, notes, and all that. You preach sermons by the life you live. And that's what changes children. Hopefully, sermons help a little bit. But I hope I'm not deluded enough to think that's the all and everything. Because it's not. It takes that home. It takes that life. And thirdly, it's got to be the thing that's going to impact our children, and the third thing that we need to instill in our children that I don't think we're good at doing nowadays, is that they need to be involved in the ministry. They need to be involved in the teaching of the Word of God. They need to be involved in spreading the gospel to the whole world, and we need to help our children to see that. In Acts 16, verses 1 through 3, and I'm not going to read all of it, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Paul knew he needs to be involved in the ministry. Take your children somewhere. Help them to do that. You know, there's a lot of works. My son, the congregation they have in Florence, they're fixing to take probably 80 or 90 people, and these people take their kids with them. They're going to Antigua. They used to go to Mexico, but it got too bad down there and they can't go back with all the drug wars and all. But they take their kids with them. Let me tell you something. Take your kids on mission trips. It'll change them. It'll cause them to appreciate what they have, to honor you and to realize what you're trying to do. Help them to see that. Help them to be qualified to be those missionaries, to teach that, to spread that word, to teach that word. And they don't have to become a preacher. You know, you can go to heaven without being a preacher. Sometimes easier. But help them to understand the ministry and that they need to be involved in it. Melvis talked about elders and people coming up to that job. Help your children to understand they need to be elders and deacons and Bible school teachers in the church. Help them to understand they've got a responsibility to that. Help them to feel like that's something they've got to do. My kids used to say, you put us in a church building, we can knock tables down and move chairs anywhere you want them. Because that's what they knew they had to do. It's a part of it. How wonderful it is that we see them training. Today, I really want to tell you, let's appreciate mothers. Let's appreciate mothers for all that they do. Let's let them know now that we can do that. How many of you today would love to have your mother here today and love to tell her, Mama, I love you? Yeah, we would. But think about this. There was a fella that went to heaven. He could look down and see what was going on at that time. Not only could the fellow that was in hell look up, but the guy that was in heaven, I think he could look too. Do you think your mother looks down and sees you today? And see the kind of life that you live? The way you conduct yourself? I really do. Throw me out, I don't care. It's true. So let's show her the kind of person we are. Let's show her the kind of person that she helped us to be. The kind of person that we're going to be willing to live right and do what we've got to do no matter what we've got to do. If it's repent of sins, we're going to do that. If it's be a kinder person and get involved in the work of the church, we're going to do that because we want them to see us and what we're doing. And you know what? If they can't see us, maybe Jesus can go over there and tell them about it. And he can let them know what we're doing. And he can let them know how we're living. So we got covered either way. We have an invitation. I want to encourage you to think about your life. Think about your soul. If you're not a Christian, I want to plead with you to become a Christian. I mean, you got to if you're going to go to heaven. You've got to give your life to God. If you don't, it's not worth anything. And I don't care if you come to church 50,000 years. If you don't give your life to God, it's not worth anything. So today, give your life to God. We want to help you any way we can. If you want somebody to hug you and love you, you're at the right spot. Because we're going to do it. Because God loves us and hugs us. We're blessed, and we got to help bless other people. We have an invitation song. Think about your soul as we stand and as we sing.